This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Conversation around private, quiet, personal time with Jesus. Joining me this morning, all the way from the Netherlands, Prof. Dion Foster, professor at the Vrije Universiteit out there in Amsterdam. I feel very calm after that song. Good morning, Dion.
Morning, Brad. Isn't it? That was just such a beautiful song. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Lord in Christ, how beautiful.
So today, before we get into our conversation, just checking in you're okay. You know, we check on the people that we care about to make sure everything's okay. Because, yeah, we're busy frying and we're simmering and all of us woke up this morning medium rare. I'm not sure if you're still frozen and hard. It's like knocking on an ice block.
Brad, so our daughter Courtney, who's still living in Cape Town, was telling us last night they went to friends just to put their feet in the pool.
Yep.
And we're at the opposite end. Today we'll go up until we'll go to a high of 5 degrees.
Goodness.
Which is 6 degrees warmer than the day before yesterday. We went up to minus one. So.
Went up to minus one. I quite like the way you said that.
But no. I mean, every place has its summer and its winter.
True that. I'm very grateful that we can find these different seasons of life. One of the seasons that some of us go through, Dion, is really quality time with God. And I can say it, I'm not ashamed, or maybe I should be a bit ashamed, but I'm ashamed to say there are times when spending time with Jesus is easy and it's beautiful and it flows and it's comfortable and that feels like a good season. There's other times when you almost find it loses not its importance, Dion, but we're almost finding ourselves not doing something we know we ought to do. We find other things, it's busy, it's this, it's that, and then you start to feel, well, my life doesn't feel quite right. There's something missing, and there's no doubt about the fact, and anyone that's listening, Dion, I'm sure can attest to the fact, when we get that quality, intimate time right, it's something just happens that feels this is the way it should be.
Brad, you know, and so just to say, that's been my experience as well. You know, I've loved the Lord since I was a late teenager, and there have been times where I've really felt very, very close to Christ and had a real experience of God in the Spirit. And then other times, you know, just sort of plodding along, and you know, I'm conscious of the fact that God's somewhere, but so busy with my own life and my own things. And, you know, of course, the easiest thing to liken that to is our most important relationships. You know, in my case, if I think about my relationship with Megan,
yeah,
to whom I've been married for 31 years, how wonderful is that?
Beautiful.
Or our son, Liam, our daughter, Courtney. You know, you need these times of closeness, times where you're deliberate to draw close to one another, because you know that those relationships matter. You know, you want the opportunity just to be in each other's presence, but it doesn't just happen. And this is something that I've learned about important relationships. You know, I remember many years ago when I first started in the ministry, someone gave me that book by Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yes.
And I'm sure many of our listeners have read it, or at least watched a YouTube video or something about it. But you know, in the book, he sort of uses this diagram with four squares, four quadrants. Mm. And he says, you know, we live our lives in four different spaces. We have the important and the unimportant. So let's, you know, say we have on the left-hand side things that are not important, and on the right-hand side things that are important. And then top and bottom, we have things that are urgent and things that are not urgent. And he says, you know, for most of us, what tends to happen is we live our lives in the space, the largest square we have is the space of the urgent, unimportant. Now, let's just quickly think about examples of that. Something that's urgent but not important is you're in a conversation with your spouse and you get a notification on your phone, and you cut that conversation short to see who's WhatsApping me, who's phoning, you know, and it's urgent. You know, particularly a phone call, you have to answer it. but is it important? Is it more important than the person who's sitting in front of you? And what Covey says is he says, you know, we really should try to deliberately focus our lives on the things that are not urgent, but they are important. Now, to give some examples of that, physical fitness is something that's not urgent. Most of us can get through our lives without being able to run a marathon. Probably most of us should get our lives through our lives without having to do that. But we do need a certain level of well-being so that we can sustain living for as long as we might. And that comes through doing the things that are not urgent, but that are important. That 20, 30 minutes of exercise, two, three times a week to keep our bodies healthy. Eating good food is another example. To eat good food, you have to plan. You've got to decide, when I go to the grocery store, I'm going to walk past the chips and the fizzy drinks and the things with lots of sugar and calories, and I'm going to go to, the things that are a bit green, put those in the trolley. Now, Brad, my experience is this is exactly the same in our relationship with God. Because God is so faithful, because God is so present, because God is so patient, because God is so loving, we can easily take that relationship for granted. So this week I was struck by the psalmist who writes in Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. He says, I wait quietly before the Lord. For my victory comes from him, and he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. And what struck me about those two verses was that first bit, I wait quietly before the Lord. There is something about just the intimacy of just saying, Lord, every day I'm going to give 5, 10, 15, 20, however many minutes I can realistically afford, just sit quietly in your presence, to know that you are here, to sense your power with me, just to be with you, not to say a thing, not to expect anything, but just to say, this is your time. I'm here to sit with you. There's no agenda to this time other than just to be close to you. So, Brad, that's been the little challenge for me this week, is just to say, capture that time again, plan it. Make sure that you build that into your day, into your week, into your month, into your year, because I think that could be the most important thing that you do. It's not urgent, but it is absolutely important.
I don't want to compare time alone with God to exercise, but if we've learned anything, you go to the gym today, and suddenly you haven't lost those few kilos you might have been trying to get, and you're not suddenly stronger. You can't suddenly lift a heavier weight just because today, because you went to the gym yesterday. But you keep doing it, and you keep increasing the amount of weight that you lift or the distance that you run. And the next thing you know, you're capable of running a 5K, 10K, or picking up that heavy weight or whatever it is that you do. It's sort of a compounding thing, isn't it? It grows, and somehow you're not sure where the point is where you get better. You're not sure where that point is where the kilograms start dropping off, but it happens because if you can sustainably keep it up for a length of time, you'll come out looking and feeling different and more able on the other side. And I feel that's exactly how it is with our time alone with God. You walk in and out. You might have had, unless there's a massive spiritual encounter, Dion, you kind of feel sort of the same way that you did. But the more you start doing it and it becomes a habit and it builds into your life as something that you do, slowly but surely you start getting better at it. You start understanding why you're doing it. You're able to sit in silence, which you probably couldn't do the first day. And suddenly it compounds, and the next thing you know, you've spent half an hour with God. Other things suddenly lose their importance because they really were not important. So we also need to give ourselves time, but we need to pre be prepared to put in the effort. It's like with any relationship, right? So we can start small and feel like, did I really make an impact? I'm not even going to do it. I didn't have some profound spiritual experience, but to hang in there and let it compoundly develop into something special.
Brad, absolutely. While you're talking, I can almost picture my kids' eyes rolling. Throughout their lives, I've always said to them, we do the important things not because they're easy, not because we get a reward from them, but because they matter. We care for the last and the lost. We sacrificially give of our time and our resources to bless others. not because we get anything out of it, but simply because it matters. And
Yeah.
I just think about God and how much God absolutely loves you, loves me, loves every one of our listeners, and how wonderful just to say, Lord, this is your time. I'm giving it to you. I can't give you many things, but you've given me my day. You've given me the right to decide how to use it, and I'm giving you this time. It's something I can give.
Now, just to be able to sit quietly and not have the mind wander to my to-do list, this is my personal challenge. I can get it right for a certain period of time, but then there's that shut-off valve that doesn't seem to want to stay shut. That's my challenge. I don't know if anyone else is in that space, but anyway, I just thought I'd mention that so you might not feel too alone that's listening this morning.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Same thing for me, Brad.
Yep.
So what I try and do is make sure when I go into that space, no phone, go there with nothing else, and train myself in godliness,
Yeah, that.
as you rightly
Yeah,
illustrated.
I like that. Train myself in righteousness. I love that. Professor Dion, love hanging out with you on a Thursday. You go and have yourself a great day. Stay warm, and we were wearing short sleeves on your part. All right.
Ah, thanks so much. Well, listen, blessings. Enjoy the sunshine, and we'll catch up next week.
Thanks so much, Dion. Bye for now.
God bless. Bye.
That's Prof. Dion Foster, all the way from Amsterdam or near Amsterdam. He's the professor of theology and ecclesiology at the Vrije Universiteit in Amsterdam. I just want to say, I love technology. I remember having to do international calls on the telephone years ago when I would do international interviews. It was kind of part of my job was just dealing with the music. Christian music and connecting with Christian artists around the world, particularly in the US and across Europe. Massively cool thing that I got to do. Sitting and talking, whether it was Planet Shakers in Australia, or whether it was sitting with Casting Crowns in the US, or whether it was Delirious or Martin Smith and Matt Redman and these guys out of the UK. Massively cool part of my life. And man, to try and connect with them, then you had to have the special card that you had to use, and then you had to dial this 10-digit code with hashes and all sorts of things, and then you needed to get through, and then sometimes there would be an echo and a delay. And now I just click one button, literally click on my screen and click on the mixing desk, and you can hear a wonderfully clear conversation all the way from the Netherlands. How lucky was that? It's 8:30.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.